The first of our Bible readings tonight is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, and starting from verse 29. You can find that in the Church Bible on page 94. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went to speak with the Lord. This is the word of God.
So our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 to 18, and you'll find that in the Church Bible on page 1159. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart.
Well, I'd ask you please to open your Bible once more at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which you'll find on page 1159. And you might like to have your finger in Exodus 34 as well, which Jim read to us, because we will be referring at one point to that part. But let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we are in desperate need of your help this evening, because it is impossible for us to understand what your word tells us unless you, who caused this word to be written down by your Spirit, enables us by your Spirit to get it. So Father, please would you help us, not because we deserve it, but because you are full of kindness towards us. We ask this in Jesus' great and precious name. Amen. I have two important questions for you this evening from this part of God's Word. Question one, are you being conned? Question two, are you losing heart? Let's start with, are you being conned? Whenever I'm standing waiting for a train at Liverpool Street Station, I always do this. I touch my back pocket. I can't help it ever since I saw an episode a few years ago of the program The Real Hustle, because it was based at Liverpool Street Station. And they showed a man standing there with his wallet in his back pocket. And then they showed how the con men, because The Real Hustle is about con men and it's to warn us against con men, how these con men then fixed their attention on this man. And one of the con men, what he did was he got a newspaper and he folded the newspaper up so it was just about the size of a wallet. And then one of the, I'm not teaching you how to do crime, by the way. And then one of the con men, basically, when it got really busy, when this guy was standing looking up at the big signs about which train's what, one of them nudged into him, pulled out his wallet, while the other one slipped in the bit of paper in his back pocket. So the man didn't realize what had happened. He thought his wallet was still in his pocket, but in fact he'd been conned. A fake had been substituted for the real thing. And the message of that program was, be careful when you're standing at Liverpool Street Station or anywhere else, that you don't have that switch done as well. Now, what's that got to do with 2 Corinthians 3? Well, actually, Paul is giving the same warning through this part of the Bible called 2 Corinthians. He's saying to the Corinthian Christians, and it's been written down for us, don't be conned, because there are con men around. He's saying, in effect, you may have had something slipped into your back pocket that seems like the real thing, that seems like the real gospel of Jesus Christ, but actually it isn't the gospel of Jesus Christ. So check. Check that you've not been conned. Now, if you've been here the last few weeks, you'll know that in these early chapters of 2 Corinthians, Paul is revealing different aspects of the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been setting out the lifestyle and approach of real gospel messengers, which he was. And so we've been seeing, haven't we, that the real gospel of Jesus does not remove troubles and hardships from our lives. We've been seeing that the real gospel of Jesus means living with a grace-educated conscience rather than what we were born with, which is a worldly-educated conscience. We discovered last week that the real gospel means that we don't just sweep sin under the carpet as though it doesn't matter, but actually the real gospel deals with sin out of a genuine and deep loving concern. And this section we're in this evening, and perhaps as it was read to you, she thought, I wonder what this is about. This part of the 2 Corinthians that we've read this evening, it's telling us that the real gospel of Jesus Christ is the ministry of God's Spirit. In other words, it is done in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is the means that the Holy Spirit uses to change men and women's lives. So my question tonight will be, first of all, are you being conned about what the real gospel is? But there is a second question. We'll come back to that in a moment, to the first question in a moment. The second question is, are you losing heart? Are you losing heart? Look back at verse 6, will you? Paul is talking about himself and his companion Timothy, and he says there, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, there's probably terms there you think, I wonder what they mean. What does that word ministers mean? Well, ministers means servants. Servants who have been given something to do on the instructions of someone else for the good of others. And Paul says that's what we are. We're servants. Actually, he's saying we're servants of Jesus. Then look at that little phrase, the new covenant. We are servants of a new covenant. A new covenant is simply a new way to relate to God. And then he says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? Well, it's God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, as fully God, as God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who is supernaturally at work in this world, fulfilling the purposes of God. And Paul, as a minister, a servant of this new covenant, he was in danger himself, he tells us, of losing heart. of giving up. You see, Paul had a tough gig. We've been discovering that he faced hardship after hardship. He faced criticism from those he'd served with loving integrity. There were internal problems in the church in Corinth, and then these con men had arrived in Corinth who were trying to turn away the Christians there whom Paul loved from the true gospel of Jesus. And there's a real sense, if I was Paul, I would have thought, well, why don't I just give up? But why doesn't he lose heart? Because he knows that the ministry, the service that has been given to him by the Lord Jesus, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he knew that through his preaching of the gospel, God the Holy Spirit was doing something amazing, was doing something miraculous, was doing something supernatural that would last forever in the lives of ordinary men and women. And so, if you look at chapter 4, verse 1, which you so helpfully read to us, he says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, this service, we do not lose heart. Now, what do I want to do this evening? Well, I want to do this evening, I'll tell you, get to that in a minute. I couldn't remember what was on the slide. All I want to do is show you three truths about the ministry of the Spirit, which meant that Paul did not lose heart. And as we listen to these three reasons, I'd like you to do two things. I'd like you, first of all, to check whether or not you're being conned. It may well be that there are those of us here who are being conned as to what the real gospel of Jesus is. Well, please check tonight whether or not you're being conned. Check what's in your pocket. And secondly, I want you to see why you shouldn't lose heart, because there may be someone here, and all of us, if we are Christians, if we're believers in our Lord Jesus, all of us here are servants of the Lord Jesus. We've been entrusted with the gospel. We are ministers, servants of that gospel, and there's a real danger that we will be in danger of giving up, because it's tough being a servant of Jesus. And I hope you're going to see reasons tonight where we don't have to lose heart. In fact, we mustn't lose heart. Because what God is doing in us and through us is the ministry of His Spirit. So, let me show you three things about the ministry of the Spirit. The first is this: the ministry of the Spirit makes us righteous before God. Whenever we write the date on a letter or on a check, we follow the long-established custom of dividing history into two parts, BC and AD. And it's amazing, really, that history's midpoint is not an invention, is not the discovery of a continent, it's not a war, it is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, before Christ, and then AD, the year of our Lord, after Christ. And all events in the history of our world are described as coming either before Jesus or after Jesus. Now that's actually true of this passage. You see, this passage, the first bit from verses 7 to 11, it sets up a contrast. Will you just look at the verses with me? Notice some phrases of contrast. First of all, in verse 7, you've got the words, the ministry that brought death. And that is contrasted in verse 8 with the words, the ministry of the Spirit. Then in verse 9 you have the words, the ministry that condemns men. And then you have the ministry in the same verse that brings righteousness. And then verse 11 there's a reference to what was fading away. And then there's also in verse 11 to the contrast of the ministry which lasts. Now what's all this about? Well, Paul is expressing a massively important truth, that with the coming of Jesus into the world and his dying on the cross, one ministry, one period of service came to an end, and a new ministry, a new time of service came into being. Now just look at what it tells us about ministry one, ministry before Christ. If you look at verse 7, you'll see there's a reference to Moses. And it's what we read about in Exodus chapter 34. Moses was a key person in the Old Testament. His ministry came from God. His ministry, as we read in Exodus 34, was to give the law of God. So we read that he came down from the mountain with the law of God, with what we call the Ten Commandments, written on two tablets of stone. And that law was from God, and it came with glory. Glory is all that God is in his perfection and his splendor. And those Ten Commandments, they came with glory, because they reflect God's character. They reflect God's goodness. They tell us something about God. But look what we're told in our verses. Look again at verse 7. The ministry of Moses, all right? The ministry of giving God's law, it brought death. And then verse 8, it brought condemnation, the ministry that condemns men. What are we being told? We're being told that the purpose of the law which God gave through Moses was not to set out an impossible way for human beings like us to obtain righteousness, to be put in a right relationship with God. Rather, what we're being told is that the purpose of the law, which puts God's glory, God's character on display, was actually to expose our inability to live the way God calls us to live. To actually show that we as human beings are those who fall short of God's glory. Now, if you haven't experienced this yourself, let me set you an experiment. Maybe you'd like to try it. I want to suggest that you read the Ten Commandments. And then just pick one of the Ten Commandments. So let's take one, for example. Why not pick the ninth commandment, which says, do not bear false testimony. In other words, do not lie. Now here's the experiment. Set yourself the task this week of genuinely keeping the ninth commandment this week. Now, I'm not talking about keeping it superficially, but keeping it completely. In other words, set yourself the task of being completely honest, of never exaggerating, of not keeping silent when you should speak up about the truth, of not passing on potentially inaccurate information about someone else, not gossiping about other people, acting with integrity, not hypocrisy, in what you say with your mouth. And making that resolve, then see how often you are tempted to break that commandment this week. In fact, come to next Sunday and tally up the times you have broken that commandment in the coming week. And what you might do with the ninth commandment, you could do with the seventh commandment, which says, do not commit adultery. And Jesus says that we commit adultery in our hearts when we look lustfully at a man or a woman. We could do the same with the 10th commandment, which says, do not covet, do not be envious and desirous of what others have. And you see, the truth is this, that the law that came from Moses, oh, it was glorious. In other words, it puts all that God is on display because it shows us what is good and pleasing to God. But that law, its purpose, was to show us that we can't live up to God's glory. Its purpose was to show us that we're sinners who deserve death. We're sinners who deserve condemnation. But look in contrast at the ministry of the Spirit. You see, notice the contrast. Verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? What's this talking about? It's talking about the good news about Jesus. It's talking about what we were actually learning here in church this morning. It's talking about the death of Jesus on the cross. It's talking about the fact that Jesus is the one who never broke a single one of God's commandments, but then died on the cross, taking the punishment that disobedience to God's commandments deserves, so that those who trust in him might receive the righteousness of God. You see, just turn over the Bible one page, will you, to chapter 5 and verse 21. Here is a description of the cross of Jesus. What was happening as Jesus died on the cross? It's talking about Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What happened on the cross? Jesus took all my unrighteousness upon him and took the punishment my unrighteousness deserves. And he did that so that then as I put my trust in him, I might be given all his righteousness and have a right relationship with God. And you may say, well, what that's got to do with the ministry of the Spirit? Well, just this. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that that message is communicated to us. That's what Paul was doing to the Corinthians. That's what men and women who love Jesus have been doing ever since. We've been given that ministry. And as that the Holy Spirit enables that wonderful message to be proclaimed, that same Holy Spirit then works in the lives of individuals and brings that righteousness to our lives because of what Jesus did when he died on the cross. So let's go back to our two questions. Can I ask you this evening, are you being conned? Are you being conned? You see, it would seem that what the false teachers in Corinth were doing, you remember my bit of paper? The men and women in Corinth, they had believed this wonderful message that Jesus had died to make them righteous before God. But these con men who had come along, they were starting to say, no. The way to get righteous before God is to basically keep God's law. You need to go back to Moses. That's what we need, a back to Moses campaign. Because it's only by obeying the law that came through Moses. That's the way to be right with God. And Paul's saying, no, it's not. Don't be conned. That is not the ministry of God's Spirit. You cannot be right with God by obeying laws. So don't be conned. And perhaps there's someone here and you're being conned like that. Some years ago, not many of you would know about this, but this was a problem within our church here in Enfield. There was a new theology going around which was being suggested that actually being a Christian is all about keeping laws. And it was like someone trying to put some newspaper in my pocket in place of the real thing. And what about losing heart? Well, you see, I think what Paul's saying here, if you look at verse 12, he says, therefore, since we have such a hope, that means a confidence, we are very bold. He's saying, look, why on earth should we give up when we have the most wonderful message in the world? Why on earth should we give up? Because actually God's Spirit is using us to tell people about Jesus so they might then have a right relationship with God forever. Hey, we've got confidence in that message. We have this great confidence. We're not going to shut up about it. We're going to keep on proclaiming it. Because there is no other way for any man or woman to have their sins dealt with and to be right with God. Let's move on to the second thing. The ministry of the Spirit, secondly, brings us up close and personal with God. Have you watched that programs about the Queen on the telly? Good programs, aren't they? A bit of a royalist, I am. But, do you know, I sat there whatever night I watched it, because I watched it recorded. I sat there thinking, do you know, I'd love to sit down with the Queen in her sitting room and just ask her loads of questions about being the Queen. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't that be great to get up close and personal to the Queen and just have a one-to-one with her? The truth is, even for the making of those programs, no one got to interview the Queen. The Queen does not do interviews, you see. And so there's very few people in this world who get up close and personal to Her Majesty. In the Old Testament, in BC, no one got up close and personal with Almighty God. Moses was a unique man. Just flip back, will you, to Exodus 34, which Jim read to us. Because it actually tells us that Moses was a man who got up close and personal with God. Verse 29 tells us that he had spoken with God, and the result of that was that his face was radiant. And when the people saw that, verse 30, they were afraid to come near him because there was something different about Moses. And so what does Moses do? Verse 33, so he puts a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed that veil, that covering, until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he'd been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant again, and then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Now, at that time, Moses was totally unique. In the Old Testament, it was only Moses who could have this one-to-one, up close and personal with God. And the reason his face shone was that he was reflecting God's glory. Now, you know what it is. Someone's been on holiday, you've not seen them for a few weeks, and they come back and you say, you've caught the sun. If you're in the sun, then it shows that you've been in the sun because your face goes a different colour. And that's in effect what's happened. Moses, you've been with God again. Your face is shining. It's reflecting the glory of God. We can tell you've been with God. Will you follow with me from verse 12? And the idea that we need to have in mind is that what was once the privilege only enjoyed by Moses is now the privilege of every believer in the Lord Jesus through the ministry of the Spirit. Verse 12, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Here we have being described what happens when someone becomes a Christian. To become a Christian means to turn to the Lord. It's not turning to the law, it's not turning to laws, it's turning to the Lord Jesus as the one who died to put us right with God. And we're being told that as someone turns to the Lord Jesus, what happens? Well, they have freedom. The freedom here, I believe, is freedom to come right up close personally with God. To actually have a relationship with God. To have the same kind of relationship with God that in the Old Testament only Moses was privileged to have. You see, let me describe what happened this morning in my little room. In my house. I got up. I was able, because I've got a Bible, to open my Bible and read my Bible. And what happens as you read the Bible? God speaks to you. He does. And then what did I get to do? I got to pray to God. I got to speak directly to God. I don't need any in-betweener. I've got Jesus. I've got the Holy Spirit. And I'm actually able to speak to God. I'm able to be up close and personal with God. And you see, this is one of the great changes that happens between BC and AD. This is the result of the ministry of the Spirit. Jesus died on the cross. And as God's Spirit works in our hearts, as we hear the gospel and we turn to the Lord Jesus, we then discover that through the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Spirit, we have total, constant, and unstoppable access to Almighty God. You see, come with me to the early days of Acts. Acts, if you don't know, is the story of what happened after Jesus died and rose again and then ascended back to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit. His first disciples, They started to preach the good news about Jesus. And there was an occasion when they all got arrested. And they were up before the religious people. Now, these religious people were people who thought you got right with God by keeping the laws. And after they'd listened to these disciples of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit, listen to what we're told. When they saw the courage, that is the boldness of Peter and John, and realized that they were ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And it wasn't just the apostles. There was this man called Stephen. He was one of the early Christians. We're told he was full of faith in the Holy Spirit. He started to speak about Jesus, and he too was brought in front of these religious people. And he talked to them about Jesus. And listen to what we read. It says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Now, we're not told exactly what that meant, but my guess is that what it meant was this, that there was something about him, and that something, to use the words of 2 Corinthians, was the radiance of God's glory. Now, why is this important? How does it fit with check you're not being conned and don't lose heart? Well, check you're not being conned. It would seem that the false teachers, the con men in Corinth, they were probably saying, look, to have a close relationship with God, you need us. To have a close relationship with us, with God, you need people like us, because we have special knowledge, and only through that special knowledge can you get to God. So you need us before you can have a one-to-one with God. And Paul's saying, no, no. If you've turned to the Lord Jesus, the Spirit has given you access to God. And no one can take that access away. And what about losing heart? Well, why on earth would I want to give up preaching this message? You guys who do mums and tots on a Thursday, why would you want to give up this message and not proclaim this message that can bring people into a close relationship with God? You guys who do Rooted on a Friday night, why on earth would you give up preaching the message of Jesus if that's what the Holy Spirit uses to bring people into a close personal relationship with God? Let's not lose heart about what we're about as a church. We have the best message in the world to proclaim. And finally, and briefly, the ministry of the Spirit, well, it transforms us increasingly into the likeness of God. Look at verse 18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. There's another contrast going on here. Did you notice it as it's read? You see, Moses, that reflected glory he got after each occasion when he went into God's presence, it was fading away. It didn't last. But notice the difference here. We who with unveiled faces all reflect God's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. That word transformed is the same word used in the gospel for transfigured. So there was an occasion. You see, if we'd seen the Lord Jesus, we would have seen an ordinary man. But there was an occasion when he went up a mountain with three of his disciples and he was transfigured. He was transformed before them. His clothes, we're told, became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. What were the disciples being given? They would be given a sight of his true glory, his true splendor as God. And you know what we're being told here? We're being told that those who have received this righteousness from God through the death of Jesus, those in whom God's Spirit is at work and he's brought them up close and personal to God, well, the Holy Spirit is working in those men and women. And he's working in them bit by bit, by bit, by bit, and he is transforming them until they will be perfectly like God. They will be perfectly like Jesus. They will perfectly share the glory of Jesus. Now, is that not awesome? Seriously? You see, when the Lord Jesus comes again, if you were to take a picture of every believer who will be there standing with Jesus, safe forever because he died for them, there will be a likeness. What will that likeness will be? It will be the glory of God. Oh, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but Jesus died and the Spirit came. That then when Jesus returns and then for all eternity, there will be men and women, boys and girls, who will perfectly reflect God's glory for all of eternity. And in the here and now, what is God doing? By His Spirit in our lives, He is changing us bit by bit to be like Him, to be like Jesus. Now please check you're not being conned. As I talk to people, do you know a lot of people talk about the Christian life like this? They say, yes, I receive salvation as a free gift from God, but then I have to try really hard to be like Jesus. So it's like, yes, salvation is a gift, but then the rest is up to me. That is a lie. That is a con. You become a Christian by turning to Jesus, and you stay a Christian by keeping on turning to Jesus. You don't say, right now there's a list of rules and I've got to keep those rules because that's the way I become like Jesus. No, do you know how you become like Jesus? You spend loads of time with Jesus. You spend loads of time listening to the gospel of Jesus. You spend loads of time learning of Him, listening to Him through His Word, spending time with others who love Him, because in that way you become increasingly like Him. Something funny happened to me in October. I was speaking at a church in Scotland, and someone came up to me and said, I know your nephew. Now, some of you know my nephew, Andy. And this person said, do you know, I think you preach like your nephew. And actually, when I hear my nephew preach, I always think he preaches like John T. Alcock. Now, why do I think Andy preaches like John T. Alcock? Because I know that Andy has spent a huge amount of time with John T. Alcock. And Andy did work here for 2 years, so there probably will be some similarities between the two of us. But you see, you become like those you spend most time with, don't you? When did Moses reflect the glory of God? When he had been in the presence of God. How do you and I increasingly become like Jesus? Well, we spend more time with Jesus. And as we spend more time with Him, God the Holy Spirit works in us and makes us more and more like Jesus. If I'm more like Jesus now than I was last year, the credit isn't mine because I've kept a list of laws. Look again at the verse. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. All the credit belongs to Him. So don't be conned. And don't lose heart. See, perhaps there's someone here and you're sitting there saying, I want to be more like Jesus, but I still muck up, I still fail. I put my life up against His and boy, I'm so unlike Jesus in the way I think, the way I speak, the way I behave towards others. Oh dear, what's going on? Listen, you're not finished yet. You're a work in progress. The very fact, though, that you want to be like Jesus is a proof that God's Spirit is working your life. So don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. And as you think of those you're seeking to share Jesus with, even those who have professed faith in the Lord Jesus, and you think, I wish there was more change going on in their lives. Don't lose heart. Because our task when it comes to others, we can't change their hearts. Our task is to keep proclaiming the good news of Jesus to them, trusting that as we do, God's Spirit will work in them. And God's Spirit will make them more and more like the Lord Jesus. So, dear friends, don't be conned. Don't be conned. Make sure the gospel you're believing is the real thing. And don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. If you are believing the gospel of Jesus tonight, you are believing the most important thing in the world. And God's Spirit is at work in your life and will use you too to do his work in the lives of others. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for the ministry of your Spirit. We thank you that his work is to apply the work of Jesus to our lives, bringing us the righteousness that Jesus died to give all who turn to him. We thank you that the ministry of the Spirit brings us up close and personal with you. We thank you that we don't need some human go-between. We thank you that we can come directly into your presence. We can listen to you. We can speak to you. Because Jesus died and your Spirit is at work in our hearts. And Father, we thank you that your Spirit's great pleasure is to transform us, that we might increasingly reflect the glory of you seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh Father, please keep us from being conned. And please help us not to lose heart, but to keep trusting the great gospel of our Lord Jesus as we keep our eyes fixed on him. We ask this in his precious name. Amen.